All right, is corn-based ethanol part of the problem or part of the solution? Robert White is Director of Operations with the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council. Sean McBride is Vice President of Communications at the Grocery Manufacturers Association. And Roger Cohen is a columnist for the New York Times. Thanks so much to all of you for being with us. And Robert, let me begin with you. You heard what the Nobel Prize winner Dr. Yunus had to say, and those sound bites that you just heard were from the CFO of Occidental Petroleum, the CEO of Caterpillar, and one of the biggest investors in the world, Mark Faber. All of them are in agreement that burning corn for fuel in this country is not working. What do you think?
Well, I think it's obviously working, and depending on your viewpoint, obviously I disagree with the three gentlemen. But the most important thing to remember that there have been multiple studies, including one from the great state of Texas this past month, that clearly state that it's energy prices, in particular petroleum prices, that are driving up food prices three times as much as anything that commodity prices could do, in particular ethanol just being one of those components of the corn market.
Roger, it seems to me, though, that while there are many reasons for the surge in commodity prices, and Dr. Yunus said that, I mean, this is the culmination of many years of poor farm policy around the world, the bottom line is, in this country, we're planting a lot more corn. And that means a lot less of everything else. And that means food prices are going up. That's the math.
Yeah, I think the food prices are going up for a lot of reasons, Aaron. I'm a little worried by this hysterical scapegoating of ethanol and all biofuels that's coming out of the corn problem. Prices are going up because hundreds of millions of people in India and China have come into the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
They're eating twice a day instead of once a day. They've also gone up because of changing weather conditions. They've gone up because of a plunging dollar. And it's not because of a still very small biofuel industry, I think, that you're seeing these surging food prices. And my fear is we're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. There are good forms of ethanol, and I'm thinking particularly of Brazilian sugarcane ethanol, which is far more productive, already an advanced industry, largely kept out of this country by tariffs, and mm-hmm. there are biofuels that make sense. Others make less sense.
Roger, I think you raise very fair points there, but Robert, let me put that question to you. Why is it that the ethanol industry in this country needs subsidies? It would seem that if we're going to have biofuels, they better work without being subsidized by the United States government. If we can get better ethanol from Brazil, why do we have a tariff? Why can't the ethanol industry stand up and say, we'll operate on our own or we won't operate at all?
Well, I think it's a very good question, Aaron. I think it really sums up to our competition in the petroleum industry. The subsidy that's most spoken about in the ethanol industry is actually a blender's credit given to the entity that combines gasoline with ethanol. And 98% of the time, that is the petroleum industry. So the ethanol plants are not the ones getting the subsidy. On the side, as far as an import tariff, that is really set up as a mechanism to offset the blender's credit, so U.S. taxpayers are not paying for the subsidizing of the blending of ethanol from offshore countries. But in the long story short, you know, subsidies have been an integral part or integral part of many industries, including the petroleum industry, the railroad industry, and so forth and so on. Ethanol has been a relatively new and gaining in efficiencies, and something that no doubt in time that we will have to be self-supporting in, and just like we hope other industries will need to be as well.
Look, I hear your point, but Sean, let me bring you in here, because I have to be the voice of the skeptics here. If we can't make corn-based ethanol and make money on it without subsidies when oil's at $120 a barrel, then what is it going to take?
Yeah, it's a real problem. I mean, this is a pocketbook issue, and with all due respect, I don't think it's hysteria. It's really nice to see that we've gotten the attention of Nobel laureates and the Federal Bank and a lot of other places who are concerned about this. When egg prices are up 69%, milk and bread are up 35%, there's a real problem. And yes, some of the population issues and weather-related and fuel costs are also driving factors in the food inflation we're seeing. But as much as a third of that food inflation is driven by our food-to-fuel mandates that were passed in 2007 by Congress. And what we're saying is we need to freeze or even roll back that policy at a time when it's really driving home and hitting American working families the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Roger, you say don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So let's take the corn-based ethanol issue out for a moment. You spend a lot of time doing research and reporting on this issue. Are there biofuels that the United States of America has access to that don't require subsidies and don't require taking away from food to give to fuel?
Well, Aaron, you know, sugarcane does not take away from food.
But that's done in Brazil.
Yes, I think that the market should be open to Brazil. Here in the U.S., I mean, we may get breakthroughs with cellulosic ethanol, switchgrass, other sources. But right now, the focus is on corn. And I don't disagree that the focus on corn is irrational and contributing to this surge in prices. I don't know where the figure of one-third comes from. I think a lot of people have very strong opinions on this subject. I see this on my blog in reaction to the op-ed piece I wrote. But there are a lot of theories, and many of them are hard to prove.
Roger, when you said the one-third figure, are you referring to the figure about how much of the U.S.
The other guest on the show just used. He said that one-third of the price increase was coming from this diversion of corn from a food source to a feedstock for ethanol.
Yeah, Aaron,
I'm not sure where that number comes from. It may be right. But
Sean, where did it come from?
It's the International Food Policy Institute. It's a report they put out recently saying that up to a third of the price increases are the result of food-to-fuel policy.
You know, for every institute, for every theory, there's an institute putting out a report backing it up. What's clear to me is you have a source that is far more rational, does not divert from food, is a round-the-year crop, not a once-a-year crop. And in Brazil, nearly all cars are already flex fuel. All gasoline sold in Brazil contains 25% biofuel. Biofuels make sense. They can be much more easily integrated into, can be distributed much more easily than, and other forms of breakthrough are not going to come quickly.
And I think, Roger Reed, you raised some very thoughtful points. Robert, let me just give the last question to you. Because, you know, as you said, there are a lot of people who are very concerned about this. And you know, you've got the governor of Texas saying, please don't make us use so much ethanol, it's hurting food prices. If we were to have a policy in this country that said, we're going to pay everyone to plant peas. And so we just had pea farms all the way from Maryland to California. We would all agree that was a bad thing, right? So how is this different?
Well, we're actually seeing a decrease in corn acres this year over last, and we're still not hitting record historical levels. The reality is that we're becoming more efficient. There is a cap on the total amount that corn-based ethanol can be produced. And in fact, if you look at today's statistics, the plants that are either in production or under construction will reach that cap. So what we're seeing today is almost the ceiling, if you will, not the floor of the days to come. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we're not using the food-grade corn for ethanol production. All we're using is a field-grain corn, the starch. We're leaving all the proteins and minerals behind. This is not a death situation in the world of ethanol or in the world of food prices.
All right. Well, Robert, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Giving us a perspective there from the ethanol side of things. Sean from the grocery stores, and Roger, as we said, a reporter for the New York Times who covers this group. Hopefully an interesting conversation for those of you out there. We know many of you feel very passionately. Please email us your views on that conversation or on what Dr. Yunus had to say, streetscience@cnbc.com. We're looking forward to your emails.